Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Al Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Ellen Emery, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Force Health Protection and Readiness. Also joining us in our conversation is Russ Sanford, Director in IBM's DoD practice. Ellen, the evolution from acute care to preventative care has represented a historic shift in the delivery of health care. What other shifts do you anticipate in military medical care within, say, the next 5 to 10 years, and how do you envision your directorate's role shifting to adapt to that accordingly?
It's a really good question. It's hard to predict the future. I think their research is making tremendous strides in a wide variety of areas, and one of our focus areas for the future is on human performance optimization. Force Health Protection, to this point, really addresses how do we sustain a healthy force, and we're defining that in the context of absence of disease and assuring that people are fit. The military community is seeking ways to ensure that our forces are not only fit, but they're hyper-fit, that they're capable of sustaining in austere environments for extended periods of time. And so the research and the focus for the future is to understand resiliency, both physical and mental. And I believe that's where we're going to see the biggest focus and change for the future. Because we are going to be able to be getting our arms around health surveillance, and we'll have the largest centrally standardized health surveillance capacity in the world, I think we will learn quite a bit from that surveillance capacity, and that will inform us in ways that we might not be able to imagine right now. I also see that there's going to be a closer alignment of how we evaluate what the medical community needs to be prepared to do in a combat environment. As we change our tactics in combat environments, we have to be able to change our tactics for providing care in those environments. And I think we're seeing a trend towards a smaller, more dispersed combat force, and therefore we're going to be placing more and more responsibility on individuals to understand what to do to situations that they are confronted with. And so the idea of a large combat medical unit is just not in our future. We'll be probably looking at creative ways to bring together modules of capability in a net-centric environment and to manage the theater much as we manage trauma systems in the U.S., have the capacity and move it around as appropriate, and build in skills at the individual level with really good tools and technologies. That's where I see us.
Great. Ellen, you've a couple times talked about some of the research that your office is doing. Regarding the area of the application of technology, does your office direct much of its own research and development either of software systems or of equipment items? If so, are there any particular focus areas?
Yeah. My office plays a very important role in partnership with other organizations. There is a CIO, if you will, in health affairs who looks at the broader information technologies and how we capture that in a more effective way. But my office is looking at how to leverage information technologies primarily, as well as medical technologies that will improve our ability to understand threat, to respond to it medically, and to assure that we are doing the best we can to preserve and protect life. And having that responsibility puts a very interesting demand on my staff to understand what the warfighter needs and then challenge the status quo to develop that. And as you know, in any major acquisition system, there is rigor, there's defining the requirements and so forth. Well, my job is to understand what's new about those requirements that have been set in stone through the acquisition process and to evaluate how that new requirement racks and stacks against the ongoing program and to do spiral developments that can plug and play into the program as we move forward, both for medical material as well as information systems.
As an organization known as the Force Protector, your directorate plays a really critical role in the health, security, and safety of the country's service members. To that end, what steps are being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical workforce?
I think if you are doing important, relevant work, people learn about it and good people want to come and play. If you're not doing it, it's hard to do. So I think for me, the fact that we have a very vibrant, very relevant, and very exciting opportunity to make a difference I think our office has experienced quite, the best and the brightest. We are attracting people all the time. They beg to come to our office, and I think that's a wonderful thing. So for me, recruiting qualified people is not a problem from within the force and from outside the department. However, that's just for now. We have to do more than that, and I think we're actively engaged in looking at a human capital strategy for the long run, especially in the medical field. Again, the idea of this resiliency, how to build resiliency, both physically and mentally, is an area where there's not a lot of expertise. And if that's where we're headed, we've got to build that capacity. We've got to incentivize the community to train those kinds of skills and then, have a good program for recruiting and retaining those.
Ellen, along those same lines, you told us a wonderful story about how you got your career started in government. What advice would you give to a person who's considering a career in public service?
If you want to do public service, you aren't going to be motivated by money. The salaries in the federal government leave a lot to be desired. But they have their own rewards, and that is that you have an opportunity to really, really make a difference. And in the Department of Defense specifically, you have a well-supported structure of planning, recruiting. They have a very rigorous training program to build the skills that are necessary, and a strong support for the senior and mid executives as well as the individual workers themselves. So that, with the changing authorities in the personnel systems, especially in the Department of Defense, is a very attractive place to work as an individual. There's job security, there is full accountability, and there's good support. So I would say if you're motivated to do public good and to make a difference in people's lives on a day-to-day basis and to be a good steward for the taxpayers' interest, public service is a way to go. It's very rewarding. It does have its frustrations, I won't lie to anybody. But overall, I've had many opportunities to leave the federal government and the Department of Defense, and I would not change it. I've been in the government for more than 30 years now, and I absolutely love it, and I would highly recommend it to anyone.
That's wonderful. We are reaching the end of our hour. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today. But more importantly, Russ and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country and to the warfighter.
Well, thank you. For anyone that's interested in learning more about what we do in our organization, I'd like to refer you to our website. It's www.ha.osd.mil/FHPR.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ellen Embry, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Force Health Protection and Readiness, and Director of Deployment Health Support. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Al Morales. Thank you for listening.